Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. This is your host, Christine Weick. I am filling in for Phil Armstrong for the next 30 minutes, and I appreciate your attention. We have been going through the book of Revelation verse by verse, and we are up to Revelation chapter 8 with the sounding of the trumpets. And kind of recap from last week, we touched on how I feel that the United States is not in biblical prophecy in the long run. It is, I believe, through the sounding of the trumpets. But towards the end, it's all about Israel and the nations that come up against her. And the United States is not listed or is not accounted for. And I find that explained as my point of view. I take a more simple, literal point of view of Revelation. I view it as a the way God wrote it is the way that I explain it. And it was suggested that I thought last week on the subject of the first four trumpets that the first three trumpets that the ring of fire will play a big part in how a third of the earth is burned up. And I leave the continents of North and South America as the subject of the devastation that occurs as a third of the earth is burned up by all of forest fires as well as volcanic lava. It does seem to make sense that if the breadbasket of the world, which is basically Canada and the United States, if the breadbasket here of the world is destroyed, this seems to bring on the famine and the cost of inflation that occurs with the seals as they are opened or as the horses come out. Right now we're going to focus on the last three trumpets. Now these I feel are again separated by an angel that flies through the sky or midair and it calls out in a loud voice, whoa, whoa, whoa. We see this in Revelation 8 verse 13 and I'll go ahead and read that passage. As I watched, I heard an angel that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, whoa, 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 notice the three woes, to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by three other angels. And this is, I believe, is what is a direct link here to the last three trumpets being more devastating than the first four. And there's a reason for this. We have a shift in the trumpets as to them being demonic. This now transfers from natural disasters that occur with, I look as the bloody seas being red tides, and as I explained earlier, the third of the earth being burned up caused by the explosion of the ring of fire. But this is something that becomes devastating to not only the individuals that are upon the earth, but also the moral part of the inhabitants, as demons now become a predominant factor. Okay, well, let's start now in Revelation 9, verse 4. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, now you got to keep in mind here, too, the abyss is hell. But it seems like it doesn't say it's coming from hell. It's coming from the abyss. Is there levels of hell? Is there differences in locations of hell? We know the third heaven and the heavens and areas of heaven where the throne is and so on. But is there a possibility there are also areas of hell? And this is where the subject matter falls here, the abyss. Now, smoke rose from this abyss like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. Okay, a couple of things here we need to look at. First of all, this star that has fallen from the sky is the devil. We must know that because the devil is given, or the star is giving an opportunity to open up something. A star as an asteroid or a meteor cannot open something. It's a piece of rock. So this is where I feel the star now is a metaphor to explain Satan. And actually, we will find out later that the star that comes from heaven, this devil, this red serpent, is also a part of the woman that is chased by him into the desert. That is described later. Now, it is not clear whether or not the smoke from hell is also the smoke mentioned in the fourth trumpet. I think there is a connection. Is it a smoke screen? And I kind of think that's a pun intended, to conceal the opening of hell. Now, keep in mind, if we have a volcanic explosion, we have the molten lava that is coming from where? The center of the earth. That's where the molten lava, it's been in between the layers underneath the earth's crust. As a volcanic erupts, the crust has a break in it, causing lava to spew out, is then also this area of the abyss. Obviously, this is from an area of the earth, in the middle of the earth, or under the earth's crust. I would think that the smoke now that is just all over the place, in the atmosphere, as clouds, it is obviously obscuring the sun. It's dark. If you've ever been near a volcanic eruption, it's like daytime. I mean, daytime is just like shut off. The sun is completely darkened by the plumes of ash. And if you have forest fires mixed in with this, here's what I say, a smoke screen where we now have a star that has fallen. Now, is this a meteor explosion or an asteroid that hits the Earth? That's a possibility, too. Wow, what a double whammo for the area of the Earth here. So, whatever it is something that allows for the release of the locust. Now, what needs to be understood in explaining these locusts is that John is giving an increased vision or sight. He is able to see angels. We are not able to see angels. Our limits are in our sight for that. Upon the earth, I do believe there are angels. We have a guardian angel. Cannot see them. Some people do. Once in a while, you hear about this or you feel them. Same as demons. Some people can see them. Sometimes they can be felt. Go into witchcraft or hear from people who are involved in witchcraft, and they will tell you this. So, John is able to see angels, is he now able to see demons? And I believe so. And what he is describing is a demon. Now, these locusts are not insects. And I believe that that is a view taken on by some of the other Bible explainers, which is fine, but I believe that these are demons that look like locusts, but they actually are of a spiritual nature. Now, they fly in a swarm, which is another indication that they come out of a spot, out of the earth. Now, these demons are allowed to inflict pain like a scorpion sting, but only on unbelievers. The seal of God is placed on the believers. Now, these are believers that I feel have not yet been killed. The tribulation period has already started. It is already into the process. How far we are at this point in the 7 years is not clear. I can assume we're probably close to the halfway point or around that point of the 3.5 years of the seven. I do not believe that these people who are sealed here, who have the seal of God, are only the 144,000. They also have the seal of God. But when we become believers, we are given the seal of God. Now, I wish I had the verse, and I was going to do this before the show started. I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I'm guessing, where it is explained that those who are chosen have a seal of God that is placed upon them. So this, to me, gives the indication that the believers that are on the earth at this time are given a hedge of protection, as also the Word of God is also a shield. So this mark is coming from God. Now, this is obviously not the mark, same mark given by the Antichrist. And it's only the demons that can see this seal of God, and that's why they leave them people alone. Now, I do not believe that this seal is visible to man. If it is described in Ephesians 1, verse 4, hoping that's the verse there, if that is the seal that is placed, obviously we do not see this. This is a spiritual thing. This is a God thing. Now, I think when Jesus was upon the earth, maybe he could see who was sealed, or for someone who was going to be saved when he had passed away. But the seal is placed on those believers who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I do not think, and I believe this firmly, that the demons are visible either. So the seal is invisible, so are these locusts. They are not visible to the human eye. Now, if we as humans cannot see the angels, we obviously cannot see the demons either. Now, how frustrating will this infliction be? It is the sting of a scorpion. Now, I have never been stung by a scorpion, but I have been stung by a hornet. And I heard the scorpion sting is much, much more painful than the sting of a bee or a hornet. If this stinging occurs, that's got to be an unbelievable medical thing to explain, as people will not know what this is. And I believe as believers, we can then decipher who is stung and who is not. And that will be a clue to us as believers who are one of us and who are not. Now, that seems to be an interesting thing that God has given us here as foresight. Again, pay attention to Revelation. This is a clue to help us through it. And for those people who don't know what's happening, this can now be explained by believers. So, does this add to the believers' persecution? Well, I believe so. If the unbelievers are being stung by this scorpion or by this demon, then how does that make the Christian look or the believer look as they are being saved from this pestilence? I believe that might just be an interesting way as to how psychosis works among the unbelievers. Will they attack the believers more? Or who knows? Maybe it may cause, this is where I struggle with the fact that it may cause the conversion of the unbelievers. But I believe the seal of God is placed upon us as when we are born. So that one is argumentative. There may be those who are converted from the, you would say, the witnessing to these locusts stinging the unbelievers and not the believers. Moving on, Revelation 9, 5 through 6. Now, they were not given power to kill them. Now, this is speaking of the locusts. The locusts are not given power to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months. The agony they suffered was like that of a sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. What I find interesting is this next part of the verse. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Now that's what I find difficult to comprehend. How in the world can someone try to kill themselves and they are not able to? Well, this is where I think demonic possession comes into play. These demons will have the power of mind control. It is also a possibility that it's a side effect of a drug that will be created to control the pain. I believe this is one calamity that will need to be seen in person and witnessed to understand what John is describing. But what I do think you need to keep in mind is the 5 months. I believe that's a literal explanation, and you can start marking your calendars. Give it 5 months, and the affliction will cease. Here's the description of these demons, verse 7 through 10. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment the people for 5 months. Notice how it's suggested again twice, the 5 months. Needs to be paid attention. Now, these verses describe what the demons look like. So the locust had body of armor and crowns of gold. Now, the crowns of gold, I feel, indicate that they had some sort of authority in hell. The crowns indicate leadership or some form of ruling power in the abyss. Obviously, there's order in hell. There's order in the chaos. Well, even though you have a room full of demons, they are organized. And the crowns here suggest that these are the elite coming out of the abyss. But they had human faces. That I find interesting. Is this a possibility that these were people who once lived on earth? These are actually people who obviously were unbelievers and they died and went into hell. We don't know that. I believe God does create angels and God does create demons. He just makes the angels much more beautiful to look at and the demons obviously much more destructive in nature. But they had wings, so they could fly, and they sounded like a herd of horses. John is describing the sound that these demons make. Again, maybe not something that we are able to perceive. Maybe we do. That is, I guess, something we will realize as that time comes. But they had a stinger in the tail. Now, this is where I've seen the explanation of these demons being Apache helicopters. That this is a description of a form of war that is coming upon the earth. Here's where I find the thinking of that in error. Number one, helicopters do not come out of hell. Okay? No. That is man-created. They do not occur in hell, or they cannot come out of hell. So that right there eliminates the idea of helicopters. Helicopters come from a manufacturing plant out of an Air Force base or out of an airport. So, nope, that does not fly. Another idea here, if we have the mix of volcanic ash and we have the forest fires, helicopters, airplanes, they're not able to fly. We've seen that already with the closing of the airports with our last volcanic eruptions. Another thing here, the hair that is mentioned, had woman's hair. A lot of people feel that this is Jen's describing the blades of the helicopter. It looks like hair. No, I do believe that these are demons that have hair, long hair. Oh, my goodness, they've got to look nasty. They had teeth. I can just see an artist's description of this right now. This is something that if we were able to see this locust, if we were able on Earth to see these demons afflicting us, I think we'd die of fright, for one thing. I mean, there'd just be heart attacks left and right. This has got to be an unbelievable sight if we were able to see them. Now, chapter 9, verse 11. They had a king over them, the angel of the abyss. Here again is an idea that there are levels of authority in hell. There is a king. So these, you would say, are the princes, again, indicating the crowns of gold that they wear. It makes sense. The levels of ruling in hell. Now, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, or Apollyon. Maybe I just did not say that correctly. But Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. Now, it is unclear if this leader or this king is actually Satan himself, or is it another lead demon in the underworld? This is the only place in the Bible where these names are found. The definition of these two names is destroyer. So regardless, whether it's Satan that's in leadership or there's another demon under Satan, whoever it is, this demon is special, created just for this fifth trumpet. Now we move on. Revelation 9, verse 12. The first woe was passed. Okay? Here we have an indication. That was woe number one. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour, day, and month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. Okay, number of things here. First of all, the angels located by the river Euphrates are not from heaven. Keep that in mind, even though it says angels. Angels are never bound. These are demons. Once again, this is a demonic trumpet. So this is not a demonic trumpet. It is an angel that has demonic results. So this is woe number two. The demons that cause bad things to happen. Now, these are the ones that motivate the troops to warfare. We get into this later on with the bowls of wrath. So we can see, again, the mix of the seals with the bowls and the mix with the trumpets and the bowls. There is a possibility here that these angels who are bound up are specified for a specific date. Now, the trumpet occurs before the Battle of Armageddon. We know that because previews the same event mentioned in the sixth bowl. That's Revelation 16, verse 12. With the sixth bowl, the kings from the east come and do battle, and here with the sixth trumpet, the troops are set out ahead to prepare. Now, it says that the troops come from the east. This is China. And the slaughter of one-third of the world's population occurs here as they march towards Israel. Now, this is not impossible. Remember, a third of the world is uninhabitable due to the earlier trumpet. If a third of the green grass is destroyed, the way that I see it, there is a possibility that the population of that region is destroyed, but it has also migrated to safety. So the remaining world population here takes a hit. But the number of the troops is staggering, 200 million. Is that possible? Yes, China has that covered, all on its own. Now, considering we have other Eastern countries that join in, it could be Iran, Iraq, or even Syria in addition to the Eastern countries. But this is something that I find interesting in God's hand, the way that he works with communist China. Maybe 20 to 25 years ago, China, to control its explosion of population, made a rule. Every family can only have one child. That rule or that law is still in effect today. That's why we see the adoption of many Chinese girls. You don't see very much adoption of Chinese boys. If a family has more than one child, they are not only imprisoned, but I believe they're heavily penalized with an extra tax, and it's very costly to have more than one child. So most Chinese families have one. And the way that they have their family set up is the boy carries on the family name, no different than here. But the boy also is part of the family tradition. It is important to have a son. Most Chinese must, by force, abort their first child if it is a girl. And if they have more than one child, they obviously are not only penalized, but they're forced to abort more than any children after the first one. So now see the reasonability why Chinese choose boys as a first choice. Many, when they have a girl, they abort. And you can imagine the abortion rate in China. But many of them give them up for adoption. They don't want the girl. And that's where our love for those who love children, adopt the girls from China. It really saves them from death and a lifetime of just persecution, being a girl. But that presents now a new problem for China. 20 years later, all these boys find it difficult to find a girl for a wife or a mate. This brings on a new problem. And most of the men that are now, you would say, of sexual age or of the generation to marry, they have no one. And what do? They enlist in the army to make their life fulfilled. To find a wife is difficult. And actually, to be a girl right now, to be 20 years of age, you really got your pick. You are, especially if you're pretty and if you come from a good family, you are in high demand at this point. But it's amazing how God's plan, they still keep killing the girl babies. So 20, 25 years later, we now have an army of 200 million Chinese. Yes, this is possible. Revelation 9, verse 17 through 19. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. And this, I believe, is the colors of the Chinese. Go back to the Olympics. I don't know if I have enough time here, so I think we will pick this up next week. As Lord willing, we will go ahead and finish up these last couple of trumpets here. And my name again is Christine Weick. If you wish to contact me, my email is explainthis@att.net, and my website, where some of my articles are posted, and you can purchase my book there, is explainthis.us. My phone number, 888-653-9752. And again, thank you, Phil, for allowing me to fill in for today. Bye-bye.